Okay, now we're moving on to section B, and the first chart that we have is courtesy of Trader Dan at Jim Sinclair's website, which is jsmindset.com. Every once in a while I have something that's pretty interesting, and this is a ratio of gold to bonds, and I have three questions to relative to the best bond strategy, which independent investors are implementing on their own. And so I'll just collectively answer a lot of the questions that are likely to come up from that regard, relative to the fact that we're making we're going to be coming into an important top, which is a double top in the advanced decline T's, which I'll discuss later. And there's different things that you can do, you know, depending on, you can make the thing fairly interesting and aggressive, but you have to sort of kind of keep everything in proper balance. You'll notice that now this chart, what this chart shows is it's the price of gold divided by the long-term bond, and I assume that's probably the total return, meaning that the amount of money that you're making in bonds is partly the capital gains or capital losses plus the income. The income is always positive. The gains, the price could be gaining or losing depending on, because it fluctuates, and if you go to the 30-year bond, it fluctuates quite a bit. So gold, of course, the total return on gold is just the price of gold, because gold doesn't pay any interest at all. That's one of its real negatives. But anyway, you wind up with this chart. You notice the chart has an upsurge to it, and you know, it goes through the plateaus. Then suddenly, the gold bond ratio increases rapidly, and so there is the tendency to conclude that over the long distance and in certain regions of time, gold will greatly outperform bonds. The penalty for that one is the fact that the volatility on gold is so great that, as one of the comments is using two-thirds bonds, one-third gold. Okay, so that's a good way to start it out, because the gold is probably twice as volatile as the bonds, and so you keep it down to a smaller size, and then you let it run through. If you plot out that strategy and you were to do something which you, I don't know that you can do that using standard charts, but you can do that by taking the quarterly returns. You can usually get the quarterly returns for the gold and the quarterly returns for the bonds, and you take the two-thirds of the one that you own, which would be the bonds, and the one-third of the one of the gold, and you can make up on a spreadsheet. You can show quarter by quarter what the strategy has done. You can see the worst quarters and stuff like that. And that's a good way to do the analysis for yourself, to convince yourself that over a very long period of time that everything works out okay. And then from that, you see different ways that you can make it work better. I just wanted to talk about the implications of the strategy here relative to what we're going to be facing in with November. And you notice that the gold, if you look at this chart very carefully, you'll see that as you started 2008, the gold went into the gold actually did very well in the early part of 2008 before it collapsed. And the reason it did it in 2008, there was a big rush onto gold. Actually, the rush for both of them, but the gold was growing faster. Is even though the market had turned down from an October of 07 top, they knew that there was a problem and a financial crisis coming. Well, many people knew that there was a financial crisis coming, so they jumped on the gold and they blew it off. So that's what the blow off is for 08, okay? And that it has nothing to do with the advanced decline T's calling for a top in the about 10 months into 07. So there's this period of another 4 months where the gold actually did the blow off for 4 or 5 months, where gold continued up while the market rolled over. And you have to be careful that doesn't happen now. Just because the market goes down, normally the gold will kind of go down, because it has a jewelry component in it, and they see bad things coming. The jewelry sales aren't going to be so good and so forth. But if you have a financial crisis coming, and they're worried about whatever they're worried about, it's just, you can get it to linger. So you can't make any hard and fast rules on that one. In any case, when you go to the doing the strategy here, we'll go to the second chart. That means that you have to go, which is now the gold blow-off watch chart. What we have here is just still not yet seeing the rise in the gold is actually is going up really good, and we do have signs that the MACD is turning up and looks like it wants to go up to, you know, some kind of a higher level, because it's just breaking a downtrend line in that third little T that I drew in there. But we're not sure that this is synchronized with the stock market in any way. It could be running on its own little speculative surge, which would be the concerns that are coming up, and maybe it has something to do with the fact that you're going into a top phase, which we'll discuss in the future. And that, but you know, you have to play this one differently. Now, when we go back to talk about the previous chart there, the reason the best bond strategy started out with an idea that you just switch between government bonds and high yield bonds. A question came up before when we're having this rally here, the government bonds are in a correction phase. Well, as soon as I said that there was a new T, I said it does favor the high yield bonds because they act like stocks. So in our program, we change it over. Okay, but if you want to be a little more conservative, you should probably just split it. See, so then the gold bond chart says that you should really add gold to it, so that becomes gold plus, a best bond plus strategy. So now you got two bonds that you might want to flick around one way or the other, and then you add the gold, but you want to hit it hard when you hit the gold component hard when you're coming out of a cash buildup phase, and you watch out for blow-offs, which best I can find is the high volume is an indicator, because it runs out of synchronization. Another possibility that suggests itself, which is good for people like Sherman that like to do this work and precious metals, he's more silver oriented than gold, but it doesn't make any difference, is if you are making a strong, see, we're in a strong run here, and then the question is, hey, what is the money flow indicator doing? If the money flow indicator made a peak, is it possible that the peak in the money flow is the halfway point of the rally in the precious, in some precious metals? Well, you have to go back and do the research on that, and I have to do the research on the S&P versus the money flow indicator, and take that back in time to find out what it is. But you know, that's the new tool that's coming by, and that's a very, very good thing to, if you own a subscription to this service. It's pretty easy to do. As Parker has noted, to get the money flow indicator, you need a high, low, and close. And so you can't use it for mutual funds because they only have closes. But you can, it probably takes into account the volume too. But anything that has a high, low, and a close to it, and probably the volume characteristics, you can get a money flow indicator out of it. So that would, you could be done for silver as well as for gold. And it might even be possible to do it for stocks. But you'd have to check it out. Next report, I'll be able to tell you, because I will have checked it back out. But for somebody like Sherman that's interested in what he's doing is drawing some trend lines. Well, actually, if you can get the money flow indicator to peak on you, and then you look around and you see some other examples where it might have helped you. But I don't think you can do it in a weekly chart here. You'd have to get into the daily stuff and do it the right way. In any case, there's another, Barbara, gold, the best bond plus strategy, and that is to use a inverse fund or a short sale for some percentage of the money. So to just give you some examples, when you get to a gold, when you get to a situation where you think you're going to have a rally, okay, we could go back a month and a half ago, and you think you're going to have a rally, and you're just in the best bonds with one third in gold. So you're one third in gold, and you were two thirds in bonds, in treasury bonds. What you should have done is taken the two thirds in the treasury and divided it into half, so you'd have been one third in the high yield bonds, one third in the treasury bonds, and one third in the gold. Okay, if the gold blows off, when the gold blows off, the one third should be cut in half, so you can go down to one third. I mean, to one sixth position, and you have another option at a market top to go to a short sale, and then the short sale and the government bonds become your holding position. Generally speaking, when the market goes down, people are going to go to treasury bonds. The high yield bonds will act like a stock, so they'll go down on you. So you don't want them. But you could also take that money and put it into a short sale, because if you're sure about your timing on the market, sometimes you get in the position where the S&P is going down, but the bonds won't rally, the treasury bonds won't rally, because they don't want to go into them right away. So if you split that defensive position into having a short sale and a government bond, and then the gold is off on its own little trip with the blow-off stage, then you have this best bond plus plus, but you still don't have any common stocks in it. So it's still, and the more indicators you can come up with, and the more, what you have to do is you have to figure out on the relative positions, look back through history, like I said, where you make these quarterly or monthly rate of returns for all the different things, and look at the market history and look at your timing, and you can see that you can juggle these combinations by a thoughtful plan, such that you're making money at a gradual, sustainable rate, which is gradual, but the violence in the data, week to week, things never really show up. It just seems like you're on a smooth track, because you've got these four variables and you're pushing them around in combinations that seem to take care of the shifts that are going on in the stock market, and you're just kind of readjusting the ratios that you have to take advantage of how you go over a market top, or how the gold blows off, or something like that. If in case of the blow off, we're talking about the gold blow off watch. If it turns out that the blow off turns later than the market top, so if you get a market top and you put something in the, you put a 20% or 30% of your money into a short sale, it'll temper everything. Okay, when you see the gold, if the gold blow off shows up later on, okay, then when you cut that back into a 1/6 position from a 1/3 position, it turns out that if your market, this forecast is negative, you can just add that on to the short position, or you can just leave it in cash, because something else is probably going to show up, and maybe you're okay on that problem. So I hope they'll answer those questions. And every time we go through this, I'll show you another way you could sort of think of the whole thing out. Okay, so that covers this section of the gold bond ratio and the gold blow-off watch, and then we'll be back and we'll discuss another indicator that Sherman has come up with, which is the complacency indicator. It's called the VIX. The title is the VIX top warning or sell warning.